Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We are awaiting Sydney Sweeney, who should be joining us momentarily, unless Hoff really screwed this thing up. But they 1 o'clock Eastern time. We're sure about that.
I'm pretty sure it says Eastern time. It could be, you know.
Either way, we've done some research. How are you feeling, BT?
I feel good. I was actually just looking at some of the pictures. I know she tacked on about 30 pounds, and we'll get into the movie Christy Martin, obviously. Wow. That is quite the transformation. She looks nothing like she normally does. It's crazy.
I mean, that's got to be nuts. Gaining 30 pounds. A part of me thinks, and we could just ask her, assuming she calls in, a part of me thinks it could be fun. Just like go to town, eat whatever you want, or you're trying to add muscle. I mean, she looks like she's pretty jacked in this movie.
That's the thing. Yeah. So it's not just sitting around doing nothing and just, you know, banging back calories. It's putting on, you know, believable combat weight, which she obviously did. All right, it'd be interesting.
I didn't know this either. I don't watch Euphoria, but I've heard that's a popular show. And apparently she does not drink and never has smoked or used drugs.
She's missing out.
I drink, but I've never smoked or used drugs. And then she's only 28, so she's got ways to go
College age? I mean, come on. Think about what we did in college.
No, I'm just saying, like me.
Think about
40.
What we did at a junior prom in high school.
Yeah, well, what you did. Yeah, we don't say we.
Well, I know Hoff was with me as well.
Come on. I'm 46 and never touched anything. Yes, alcohol, of course. And, I love my surf. Sides, but that's pretty impressive.
That's impressive.
Yeah. But we're learning about her, obviously, here. And this movie, I'd be interested in seeing that. Now, I'm not a combat guy myself, meaning I'm not a huge fan. I know Hoff loves the MMA stuff.
Oh,
I do.
He loves this
stuff. Used to love boxing, though. Loved boxing.
So did
I. We talked about that, the old days.
We did.
Foreman or my old days. Tyson, obviously. Mm-hmm. Those type guys. Growing up, boxing was great. Now we get into it now if there were big fights. It seems now all the big fights, though, were staged. Kind of more.
Yeah, it's like celebrity-oriented, and let's bring in this guy to, bringing Tyson at the age of 60, whatever it might be. It's really because of UFC. I mean, UFC's marginalized boxing. It just has.
In what way? Why can't boxing still have a legit competition? Like, I'd rather watch boxing if it were authentic competition as opposed to a staged Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, or whatever.
I do too, but I think about the lack of or the disposable income that's available for each family. I mean, I think at some point, and Hoff, you can weigh in, I think at some point, listen, if money doesn't matter, then this doesn't apply. But if money matters in your world, then at some point, you got to make a decision. Are you buying UFC fights or are you buying boxing fights? So, you got to branch off at some point.
But here's the thing that we haven't really talked about this at all. UFC is now going to be part of Paramount Plus come January. So you don't have to pay for pay-per-view anymore. It's going to be built into that.
We have
that
to pay
premium.
Paramount Plus.
Yeah, you just pay Paramount Plus, and it's part of that premium, like whatever you pay per month.
Even the big ones?
Oh, everything is going to be. She's calling in.
Hold on. Okay, I was just going to ask him. He got excited. Tight. You know he was getting nervous. It was 103 and ticking.
Oh, man.
Know he was getting nervous.
Hello, Sydney. This is Hoff.
Yeah. And look at him. I wish we had cameras on him right now.
We do.
I've never seen that. I've never seen that smile as big with Hoff over there.
He is happy.
It's a little different than getting, you know, Baldy on every Tuesday.
or you know, walking schmooze into the studio like you did the other day.
Look, Hoff's, we get 10 minutes with the Hoff's taking five of them right now and just feeling, oh, no.
Hey, Hoff, get her on the air, buddy. You can talk to her after.
Ooh, God. Macaulay Culkin was a fun one, you're right, but that was only a quick.
I don't remember it only being 4 minutes. Yeah, you guys both said the same thing. 4 minutes.
We taped it.
I remember we taped it after the show.
And it was a quickie. And this one, 10 minutes would be fine. I mean, 10 minutes on Christy.
If we have 10 minutes, I'm going to run out of material, man. Hopefully we have four.
Let's see. Hoff has got his...
Look at Hoff!
All right. Welcoming to the show right now, the BT and Sal Show, Brandon Tierney, Sal Licati. We have Sydney Sweeney joining us right now, one of the most famous actresses in the world, no question about it. Sydney transforms into Christy in her new movie coming out November 7th. Christy, based on a true story. Sydney Sweeney, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. So first off, we're reading a lot about this. Apparently you gained a lot of weight to play this role. How'd that go?
I did. I gained like 35 pounds for it.
How?
So I had like 2.5-3 months of training. I worked with a boxing coach, a weight coach, a nutritionist, and I would weight train in the morning and at night. I'd box like 2 to 3 hours every day, and I took so many protein shakes, creatine, L-carnate, just filling up with calories. It was a lot. I felt so sick all the time.
Was it harder to gain the weight or lose the weight to get back to your natural weight?
It was harder to gain it because the amount that I had to eat and consume was a lot. Mm-hmm. And then whenever I started adding the boxing element in, I started losing the weight. So I was trying to find this balance.
So was this a natural role for you, Sydney? Because we're just doing some research here, and it sounds like you're into the combat stuff. You were an athlete in high school with the combat sports, with taekwondo and jiu-jitsu. How fun was this for you to play this role of Christy?
Oh, I loved it. I felt like I was going home. I grew up kickboxing and grappling at like 12 years old, and my senseis were Ronda Rousey senseis. So I worked with Jean LaBelle, Benny Legette, Gokor Hayastan, and I loved it. It's such a brotherhood to walk into, and so being able to be back into that dynamic was a treat.
Are you a black belt or no? Did you get that far?
Oh, I wish. I had some competitions. I fought some guys. I beat them. And as I was getting like really into it, I booked Euphoria, and I wasn't allowed to fight anymore.
So you were knocking on the door. You were almost there. So it's got to be tough. It's one thing for Sylvester Stallone to get in the ring and throw fake punches, you know, as a non-fighter, but as an actor. But you, even though you're not a black belt, you've got a very high level of experience. So you ever come close to connecting? Because you've thrown a lot of real ones in your life. So how do you make sure you don't hurt anybody?
Oh, so this is the crazy thing. We actually did connect in those fights on the movie. It was one of my first things I talked to with my fight coordinator, Walt, and all of my stunt girls, and some of the girls were actual fighters as well. And I was like, hit me. I want you to hit me, and I want to connect. I'm like, there's so much of Christy that comes to life in these scenes and her in the ring. I was like, I don't want to have to be on the back of my head because it's a stunt double, or I don't want to have to be cutting the scene and be super choppy because you don't get to see Christy's personality shine. You don't get to see the emotional change that's happening to her during these fights. So when you see us hitting each other, we're actually connecting, and there's some bloody noses. I got a concussion. Like it was full force.
You got concussed.
Wow.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Sydney Sweeney ahead of her new movie, November 7th, that comes out. Christy, based on a true story of Christy Martin, who was a female boxer, a professional female boxer. You had a concussion, Sydney?
I did. It was crazy.
I mean, that's pretty rough for you're an actress. You shouldn't be getting concussed. How difficult was that to recover and then get back out there and do it again?
Yeah, how long were you out?
I didn't have any time to be out. We're on a tight budget and a tight timeline. I remember I was having my friend Keely, we were like icing me. I had ice baths, and it was wild. It was the most insane experience, but I loved it.
You're a trooper. You're all in. So you were born, I don't know how long or when you left Idaho, but you know, now doing what you do and being exposed to what you're exposed to, you're in a lot of the big cities, obviously, domestically and all around the world. So how much do you miss the little doings of Idaho, if you will? It's a complete opposite of where you are now, I'm sure.
Oh, you guys, I go home more often than not. I don't even consider LA my home. I'm back with my family where I grew up. I live in my great grandma's house. I bought it back from this couple a few years ago, and I was like, I want to be neighbors with my grandma. So I'm still up in Idaho. I love it. And while I was training for this movie, I turned my grandma's shed into my Rocky gym. I put a floor ring in. I put some boxing bags. And I trained up there with everyone.
That is absolutely fantastic. All right, so I have been to 44 of the 50 states, and Idaho is one of the ones that I have not been to. What am I missing? I know it's gorgeous.
Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, the lakes and the mountains. And it's so hard because you want to go see it during every single time of the year. Like, fall's gorgeous. The trees are changing. Winter, if it's a good winter with a lot of snow, the skiing's incredible. Like, go up Weiser is where I ski. And then summertime, it's beautiful. The lakes are nice and warm and refreshing. And it's just great people, great scenery. If you love to hike, you can be outdoors all the time. Like, I grew up, I was never inside. I was never playing video games or watching TV. I was just outside exploring, building tree houses, playing with my friends.
Good for you. A real human being. I love it.
Did you ever think, Sydney, like you go from, I'm sure, dreaming about becoming an actress or whatever it is that you want to dream about and being in these movies and all that stuff. You have become one of the more famous, more desirable women in the entire world. That's a level of fame I'm not sure anybody can comprehend. How do you deal with where your life has taken you now to being at that level?
You know, I don't know. I hang out with the same people I grew up with, so I don't think that it hits me often because they definitely keep me humble. I'm very appreciative of it, but I just go home with my friends and my family.
Grounded. That's what it's about. You sound incredibly grounded. All right, so listen, Sydney, our guy Hoff, who booked this, our producer, great guy, great fan of the Fight Game, massive fan of yours. We got to let him ask you. I don't know what he's going to ask you, but go ahead, Hoff. It's your turn.
I have two questions. I'll make it quick. First of all, who is your favorite female fighter? I mean, or is there who's your favorite fighter from the UFC? How about that?
Oh, man. I mean, Cyborg is awesome. Ronda's incredible. I always wish I could see those two fight, actually.
And then lastly, for me.
Yeah, I grew up when Ronda was like at the height of her entire career.
Yeah. And then now she's doing wrestling, which is okay. It's not as good as the UFC stuff. But now, here's my biggest question, because I'm also a horror movie fan, and you do a lot of horror movies. Are you going to get back into the horror movie game soon? Immaculate, I think, was the last one you did. What's the next horror movie you're going to do?
Yeah. Ooh, I have a fun one that I'm actually producing and putting together right now. It's based on a Reddit article that I found, and it's pretty cool. But I love horror. It's my dad's favorite genre, so every time I do a horror film, I kind of feel like it's a little present for him. So I'll definitely be doing quite a few more in my lifetime.
I love it. So now I have a question for you. So you're not even 30 yet. You were 28, I believe. So the movies that I saw, you certainly didn't see in real time. Go back to that horror genre. Did you, Friday the 13th, Freddy Krueger, you jump into all that stuff? And if so, do you like it?
Oh, yeah. My dad had me watching everything at a very young age. And you might be questionable of, like, why are you having me watch that? But Halloween's his favorite holiday, so he could not show my little brother and I all these films. He loves it.
How old were you when you first saw Michael Myers? Hopefully you weren't like 5.
Oh gosh, I probably was like 8.
That's acceptable.
You referenced before, Cindy, you referenced Rocky. Have you seen all the Rocky movies?
I have. You know that Christy actually went and ran the Rocky steps the other day.
Oh, meaning you or the actual Christy?
No, the actual Christy.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Wasn't sure. Which one? How old is she at this point? She could run those Rocky steps and no issues?
Oh, hell yeah. Christy could still knock you out if you got in the ring with her.
Where are we at with Euphoria, Sydney? When's that coming out?
It's coming out next spring. I actually have 1 week left. Next week's my last week on Euphoria.
That's it? For good?
Yeah. For now in my life so far.
All right, well, obviously a great career. Anything left for you, BT?
No, what's your favorite sport besides the fight game?
Ooh, I mean, I love watching hockey. Mm. I love when they throw their gloves and start to fight.
Did you see Matt Rempe get his ass kicked the other night?
No, I literally, whenever I'm filming Euphoria, I feel like I'm in such a bubble and the rest of the world passes by me.
Gotcha.
But I love hockey. I love baseball.
There you go.
I definitely grew up with baseball.
Okay.
And I grew up playing soccer. I've never gone to a soccer game and watched it, but I love playing it.
Will you be watching the World Series, and who are you rooting for?
Ooh, I don't want to, if I say right now, I feel like I'm either going to have people love me or hate me. I can't say that publicly.
Don't you have that already? I think you do.
I mean, we don't need to add more to this right now, man.
Thank you, Sydney. We appreciate your time. Good luck with the movie. Christy, check it out. Based on a real story, Christy Martin, professional women's boxer, comes out 11/7, November 7th. Thank you so much, Sydney. We appreciate the time.
I think she's that was enjoyable.
I think she had enough.
Okay.
She had enough of you. She didn't have enough of BT and Sal.
I've got a couple questions in there. All good to go.
Sal, if I said to you, all right, you know, you can, and the training, whether it's weight gain, weight loss, whatever, you would look the part, and you, if you can do one movie role, like reenact somebody, an actual figure from cinematography. Anybody jump out? I mean, would it be something from Rocky? We talk about it all the time.
What do you mean? If I can play?
Yeah, if you
role?
Could play somebody, something from maybe the old mob movies, Goodfellas.
Honestly,
something,
dude,
jump out?
After my experience on Gravesend, I'm not sure. I'm sure everyone wanted to do that again.
All right, but if you had to,
I don't know.
I know. I don't even know if I have one there. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it,
I thought she was like, it's so weird when you follow somebody from afar, and I'm not locked into her career.
No, but neither am I.
You know, she's 28 years old. That's very young. Obviously, we're familiar with her stuff. She's familiar with who she is. She's one of the most famous people in the world. But what a terrific, grounded personality you got from Anna. She's just going through the ringer of the interviews, and that's what they do, hang up, you know, bang them out, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
on to the next one. But she sounded authentic and grounded.
I don't think you could fake that. I mean, listen, you know, I think it's very apparent where, you know, what her family means to her. She bought her grandma's, or she bought her one of the old homes out in Idaho so she could live next to her grandma. I mean, that seems like she's got both feet on the ground, and she seems like the kind of girl you want to sit down and laugh with. Like, she's cool. Like, she's, you know, I thought she was very down to earth, and I enjoyed that. I didn't know what to expect, but it was good. Good job, Pop. She was
that
cool.
That level of fame has just got to be. And then she's like, oh, I stay around my same people.
I wouldn't want that at all.
Oh,
not that level, not at all. No way.
You can't go anywhere. God. You can't, like.
Dude, I get thrown out of a Little League baseball game. It's all over the New York Post. Could you imagine what would happen if, like, you're one of these people? Good God almighty.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or dsw.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan and Tiki on the Fan on a very busy Monday. If you've missed any of the program, easy. You can rewind it on the free Odyssey app. The Joe Beningo Monday call-in with Evan and Tiki is brought to you by Approved Oil. Visit freezetherate.com, HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City, Total Orthopedics, the experts at getting you back to being you, and by Audi Manhattan, where luxury meets excellence. Joe, obviously, before we get to the shocking Jet victory, the horrible news we all got yesterday morning about Nick Mangold. Your thoughts on the passing of Nick at a ridiculously young age?
Well, one of the great Jets of all time, no doubt about it. One of the great centers of all time. Yep. I mean, I know he's up. You know, he's up for. He's been nominated for the Hall of Fame. He should get in. You know, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there's a very limited amount of centers in the Hall of Fame. I was thinking about him the other day. I think it's Jim Ringo, Mike Webster, DeMonte Dawson, Jack Langer, Dwight Stevenson, and Kevin Mawai. So why shouldn't Nick Mangold be in there? He's as good as any of those guys in my mind. You know, I think he's a six-time Pro Bowler and a great guy.
Seven
Pro Bowls.
Yeah, seven, you know, and two All Pros.
Right, and two All Pros, which is, you know, that means you're the best of the best.
Right.
I don't think there's any question. Put him in, and we could all go, just like we did for Klecko and Revis, we can all go to Canton. And even though Nick won't be with us, we can watch him get into the Hall of Fame. I met him a couple times. Great guy. Regular guy. And I'll never forget, me and you, we were there at the draft in 2006. And I'll never forget this, at Radio City, back when it was in New York all the time. And, you know, the story was Reggie Bush and Vince Young and, you know, I think it was Matt Leinart and all these guys. And we're talking, you and I, we've got to draft Reggie Bush and all of this. The Jets had the fourth pick in the draft. They take the Brickashaw Ferguson. Then, at the end of the draft, they had another pick in the first round. They take Nick Mangold. It turned out to be probably the best draft in the history of the franchise. We had basically the two rocks of our starting offensive line for 10 years, probably the greatest left tackle we ever had in DeBrick. It's close with Nick because you got to look at Mawai, too, who's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
You know, so, you know, two great, great centers that we've had. But that turned out to be, you know, I think we got Leon Washington in that draft, Brad Smith in that draft. That turned out to be one of the great drafts in the history of
the
franchise.
No doubt. It wasn't sexy at the time because it was all about Reggie and Leinart and all
that.
But,
that's right.
And in a way, watching yesterday's game, let us hope, not the same positions exactly, that Olu Fashanu and Armon Membu can be those rocks for the next 10 years, too, because they played a hell of a game yesterday.
Well, they were the stars of the game. You know, look, obviously, Fields was great. Brees was great. By the way, you're not trading Brees. Let me get this out here right now. You're not trading Brees, okay? Okay, these are the kind of guys you're going to be looking for next year to help you go forward with a young team and hopefully a young quarterback.
Hey, Joe, I agree with you 100%, but isn't this what everybody said about Saquon when it was near the end with the New York Giants? Trade him when he's at his highest value and get something for him.
They didn't even trade him, though. They didn't trade him.
Oh, I know, but I'm saying now some people are saying trade Brees Hall, but I agree with you.
No.
Don't trade him. I mean, I know Isaiah Davis is a good player, and he had a 100
tremendous
total
game.
Yards.
He had a great game
huge
yesterday.
Game.
Great
but
game.
But he's not Brees Hall.
No. And the other kid, Allen, I really don't know about him. He got hurt. He had a big fumble. He's out probably for the year. Here's the thing, Teak. Okay? You keep him. You try to sign him in the offseason. And if you don't, you franchise him. And the running back number is not it's not like you're franchising a quarterback or a pass rusher or a left tackle. You know what? That's what you do. That's what I would do.
Especially because if they trade him, they're going to get a fourth-round pick?
You're throwing him away. Yeah. What are you getting? You're basically getting nothing for him. I mean, come on. A fourth-round pick, especially the way our franchise picks. You know what? With our fourth-round pick, we won't be taking somebody like Cam Scataboo. And I want to say something about that, too. Because I was putting the Giant game on in the commercials of the Jet game, and unfortunately, I happened to see the play where Scataboo got hurt.
That was terrible.
And you could tell immediately his ankle was going the wrong way. And look, I'm not a Giant fan, but what a hit. What a terrible. I mean, you know, the kid had so much, him and Dart together, so much juice. And to see the kid go out like that, that's just horrible. Really, really horrible.
Horrific. Horrific.
Yep.
A couple of things early in this game.
Yep.
Fourth and one from their own 37-yard line.
Right.
Your thoughts on going for it and then subsequently the toss to Breece Hall that got completely smushed.
Loved going for it. The play was horrible. Yeah. Now, what I'm hearing is that Fields audibled out of the play. Now, I think it might have been a quarterback sneak.
It should have been.
It should have been. Of course. And remember, later on in the game, he did a quarterback sneak and got the first down.
Yeah.
Love the idea, being aggressive. We're 0-7. I was all for it, but the play call was horrible.
Yeah, I think the aggressiveness showed its head later.
The 2-point conversion.
Well, the 2-point conversion first, but also the other fourth down.
I mean,
that was pass all the way. Now, it was a great job by Justin Fields of buying time and finding his tight end, and then the going for it on fourth down. I mean,
well, how about
the
first
conversion.
Touchdown, Teak, was on fourth down. It was
fourth and two.
Right,
yep. Right.
And Fields made the throw to Johnson with a guy right in his face.
Yeah, I mean, that was
he put it right on the money.
Right, there was zero. It was a zero blitz. For whatever reason, the cornerback or the safety slowed up before he got to Justin Fields, for whatever reason, and that half a second allowed him to throw that. It was a floater because he got tipped into Johnson's hands. But, you know, as I thought about it, early on in my mind, I'm saying, why is, like, dude, you don't need to be this aggressive. But then I realized, what the hell do you have to lose?
Right, you're 0-7.
If you're Aaron Glenn at 0-7, take every chance that you possibly can because you don't know how it's going to spark your team. And by the way, that's what happened. It started to spark the team to do really good stuff, at least offensively.
And I want to say this, too. Another thing that, you know, not the game per se. What Woody Johnson said, there's no question that this lit a fire, not only on the fields, but under the team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any question about it. And I don't think that that's what his intent was.
No.
I mean, obviously. But it worked. Whatever it was, he wound up working for his football
team.
It
greatly affected Justin Fields. I mean, you see him in that postgame admitting he was crying during the week. And he didn't put it on Woody. But look, Woody Johnson is so odd because I get it. Justin Fields wasn't playing well. Like we all criticized him, but it's something different when the owner of the team comes out in the clunky way that he speaks, where he's like his rating is bad. Yeah. Like, even the way he talks, it just doesn't
make
that much
sense. Pass.
Can't complete it. It just it was something he shouldn't have said, but hey, if it somehow sparked Justin Fields to play his best football, God bless him.
No question about it. And I got to tell you, the two plays on the 2-point conversions, which turned out to be huge in this game.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, both times I was disagreeing with doing it. Okay. Both times. You know, because the first time they were down 9. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're down. So if you don't get this, you're still down 2 scores. On that one, Fields made an unbelievable play. He got it. They were going to pass it. He got away from the pressure. He gets outside and he runs it in for 2. And then on the second one, at that point now, it's 38-30. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. Well, you got to kick the extra. What are you going for 2 now?
Right.
You got to kick the extra point. And what a play he makes. I mean, he makes the throw as he's going down. Davis catches the ball. Mm. Initially, they're saying it's an incomplete pass. You saw the replay. You saw it recorded.
Yeah.
And barely was the football on the goal line. And obviously, maybe the biggest play of the game, that play.
No, it definitely was because it created the opportunity to win the game when you move the ball down the field and score again on what was a ridiculous play by Breece Hall. Now,
running down the sideline. Well, you're talking about the touchdown.
I'm talking about the touchdown pass.
Yeah, the touchdown pass.
Like, there are some guys who are just back, like gamers. They just figure it out as it goes along. As soon as he tucked that ball, I was like, all right, whatever. Just maybe reverse field, whatever. Figure something out. But that throw was it was QB-esque. A guy who doesn't play quarterback.
He pumped it, faked it, just popped it up to Rudolph. I keep calling him Mason Rudolph.
Right.
Mason Taylor,
right.
Who had a really tremendous game. He caught a big third down as well. How about the receivers in this game? Tyler Johnson and Isaiah Williams. Both of these guys were huge in this game.
Yeah.
Williams caught some big passes. He even had that reverse for about 25 yards. How about the fourth down play to Rucker, of all people?
Yes.
Which gets him 25 yards.
This is why you get encouraged from Justin Fields. Because quarterbacks, obviously, are not supposed to make mistakes. Just lead the team down the field, score points.
Right.
But he was making those guys better. Like, the throws were making those guys in position to go make plays for themselves. And you got to credit Justin Fields for that. We were talking a bit earlier,
And I think the biggest difference, Joe, is that Tanner Engstrand finally stopped trying to be ultra-conservative with Justin Fields. When I went back and watched the game from Carolina, every throw was like a two-step or a three-step drop. In this game, he's taking five-step drops. He's got a seven-step drop. And he's just safer, right? He's just away from pressure. That immediate pressure that comes just from the line push he would feel in the previous weeks. This week, he felt like he was a Pro Bowl quarterback the way he was throwing the ball around.
The offensive line, Evan alluded to it earlier, was phenomenal. Mm. I mean, they didn't touch Fields in this game. They ran for 254 yards. I mean, you can't say, if this is what the offensive line is gonna be as we go forward. I mean, you know, because I thought they would as much as all those guys were great. You know, Fields was great, Davis was great, Breece was great, no doubt about it. To me, the stars of the game. What are you, offensive line?
Absolutely. And they're essentially both rookies. I mean, Fashanu is a second-year player, but remember, he didn't even start right away last year.
And Tippmann is only, what, his second year, third year?
Yeah, third year, I think. They're incredibly young, and hopefully that's what this team is building towards, having the rock-solid offensive line that we saw during the Mangold to Brick era.
Yeah. No question about it. Now, the defense stunk. And let me say a couple things about this defense.
Yeah.
And finally, because I know everybody. Look, not for a minute, and I got to tell you this too, guys. Did I ever think they're winning this game?
Me neither.
No. Because with a minute and 50 seconds left, they got three timeouts. And all they need is a field goal to win the game. And I'm like, there's no way they're going to stop them. And they did. So credit to them. But a couple plays in this game. How about this? And I thought we were dead with this play. And they scored a touchdown, too, after this. Third and 12, and they let Joe Flacco run for 13 yards.
Yeah.
And Michael Clemens misses him on the play, right?
Yep.
I don't know how he's still on a team. He misses him. I thought they were dead after that play. And here's another guy. You know, we always talk about how overrated Sauce is. I mean, let's be honest about it. Quinnen Williams, this guy.
Oh,
I mean,
the neutral zone infraction on third and four.
On third and four, he gives him a first down. Does he do anything? He had one assisted tackle yesterday. You know, when do I see Quinnen Williams? Let me get delirious about this guy. When do I see Quinnen Williams make a play like I saw Dexter Lawrence make a few weeks ago against the Chargers when he bats the ball in the air, catches the ball, and runs for like 35, 40 yards? When am I going to see that? When am I going to see Quinnen Williams have like a 3 or 4 sack game?
Well,
I don't see it ever.
I'm curious now because Diana Russini put out what she's hearing about it before the NFL trade deadline.
Yep.
And she mentioned Jets are going to get a lot of calls on Quinnen Williams. Would you trade him?
I would think about it because I think he might get you a number one draft choice. Certainly a number two.
Yeah, he's certainly getting a return on like Breece Hall.
Right. I'm not trading Breece Hall. But I would – look, I'm not getting what we should be getting from Quinnen Williams as far as I'm concerned. I think he's extremely overrated. Like I said, I mean, can I see him make a play like Dexter Lawrence? I mean, give me a break. I never see that. Never. So – yeah, I think you get no worse than a second-round pick for him.
Yeah, I mean, Dexter Lawrence has that reputation, and his previous years have been fantastic, but he hasn't made a ton of plays like that this year. But it's in his wheelhouse, that's for sure. I mean, the other thing, Joe, that is half those defensive backs, I didn't know who they were.
Right.
I was like, who is this guy?
Hey, you know what? Give those guys credit, okay? I know that the kid, what's his name, Thomas got
AZ,
on that touchdown to Higgins.
Right.
But they pretty much, you know, they kept DeMar Chase pretty, he caught a lot of passes, but they kept him in check. He didn't kill him in this game.
Right. Bend, don't break.
Right. So they made some, you know, these kids made some plays, you know, the kid from.
But they still gave up a ton of points.
Well, they're not any good. They got no pass. Yeah. Tiki, where's the pressure? We got one sack by Will McDonald, which was pretty big late in the game. But where were they? They didn't get near Joe Flacco, and there was no blitzing at all.
Yeah.
Did they blitz?
And they couldn't stop the run. I mean, P. Ryan and Chase Brown all day.
They rushed for 184 yards in this game.
You mentioned something we don't see from Quinnen Williams. I'll tell you something else we don't see as a whole from this defense is force a freaking turnover. We saw the one turnover a few weeks ago.
God.
And the play – I never thought they were going to win. I'm completely with you. Even on 4th and 9 from their own 45, I'm like, they're going to convert a kick, a field goal. We're going to lose.
Or you're going to see a pass interference or an illegal contact.
Yes, definitely. But the the play that really killed me was about three plays earlier. The rookie, A.Z. Thomas, as he's affectionately called, knocked the ball up.
Right.
And came within like a centimeter.
He was
of
out of
it.
Bounds, though.
That was the problem.
Right.
Because
he never reestablished, but actually
caught the ball back in the field of play. If he had reestablished, it's an interception.
Right.
And they never force him.
Well, they didn't turn the ball over either. But look, they got one turnover all year. They don't have it. How about this? The starting quarterback, Fields, has not thrown an interception all year, and the defense has not gotten an interception all year. How about
crazy.
That?
That's almost impossible.
Right?
I mean, you're halfway through the season almost. Yeah,
tell me about it. And I know he only played, he missed that one game against Tampa. But you know what? Well, you look at this team, you start to look at this season that we've had. I mean, they could easily, let's be real, they could easily have four wins here. And you go back to the Pittsburgh game, the Denver game. Denver mailed that game in. They should have won that game. Denver's a really good team. But they didn't. You know, like I said, they mailed the game in London. Let's be honest about it. They should have won that game. They had Tampa. If they could have made a stop against Tampa, they would have won that game. I mean, so many of these games. The only two games they really got killed was Dallas and Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, even last week against the crummy Panthers, who, by the way, Buffalo annihilated yesterday.
Right.
I mean, come on. You know, so here's my feeling going forward. You got 9 games left. There's a lot of football to be played. Let me see them win games. Mm-hmm. I want to see, I don't think this is unrealistic because they're still going to get a high draft choice. Go 5-4 over the last 9. You got games you can win. You got Cleveland. You got the Saints. You got Atlanta at home. You got Miami. I know Miami waxed Atlanta yesterday, but you know, you got Miami. You got games you can win. So I want to see this going forward. I want to see some wins. And you're still going to get a high draft choice no matter what. You're not winning more than 4 or 5 games if you're winning that many. You're still going to get your quarterback in the first round. Let me see if we got a football team or not.
Now, speaking
let
of the
– let me see if we got a head coach.
Yeah,
right?
Well, that's the encourage. That's why winning is so important.
Right.
You just nailed it. We can talk about picks all day.
Right.
We need to see success and improvement to know that there is a head coach here. Right. One thing that they've done
Let me just say one thing. Because I don't – and I've said this before. I don't give a damn who the coach is.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to have the – I want to have a winning, you know, a real legitimate NFL head coach. I don't care who the quarterback is. I just want to win. I don't give a damn if it's Justin Fields, if it's Sally Fields. I don't care. You know what I mean? I want to win.
I'm with you.
That's all that matters. So, you know, 9 games, a lot of football to be played. Let me see this team stack a couple wins here.
But also, we all want to win. If they finish 1-16 and fired this coach, their chances of winning are not good.
Right.
Because all of a sudden they'd be looking for a head coach and no one would want this job.
Yeah.
So we are better off. For any Jet fan who actually cares about winning, which I think is most of us, they got to win with Glenn.
It would have to get really, really bad for him to get fired.
I agree.
And I don't see that in the cards, him not being the head coach.
Well, Woody put his rear end out for Glenn. I mean, when he criticized Fields, he didn't criticize Glenn.
So, no, you're right.
You know, he wants him to be the guy.
But we're also seeing, I know it was tough to admit it a few weeks ago because they kept losing. We're also seeing improvement, especially in terms of penalties. I know the Quinn and Williams one was a disaster.
Yes.
But, dude, they committed 4 penalties this week. Yeah. They committed 3 last week. They have clearly cut down on that.
Yes.
And we got to give the coach credit for that.
Yeah, no, they've cut down on the penalties. There's no doubt about it. I would agree with that. They're not making those dumb mistakes they were making before. But they got to, you know, you got to get the turnovers. They just don't force any turnovers at all. I was very surprised to hear that they are, and I don't know if they got any yesterday or not. They got beat by Houston. That the Niners, Robert Saleh's defense, didn't have any interceptions either. Did you know that?
That's crazy.
I did not know that.
Spiro Dedish yesterday was saying there was only 2 teams in the league, the Jets and San Francisco. And I don't know if they got any yesterday.
They have forced 7 turnovers. And even if they're all fumbles.
Who's that, San Francisco?
San Francisco. At least they're forcing them.
Right, right.
They did get 1 interception yesterday.
Okay,
so they're off the snide.
So the Jets are the only team.
Yeah. Right? Well, I mean, I don't even give fumble interception. I don't give a rat's ass. Just force a turnover.
Oh, my God. Can I see one time? And I'm sure, look, we're going to get the bye this week. And I think they're actually the favorite against the bye for a change. and I think this is a big deal, too. I want to see Aaron Glenn, because we never win after the bye. You know this, Ed.
Yeah.
I want to see Aaron Glenn. It's a big deal for the coach. Have his team prepared and ready to play football coming out of that bye when they play the Cleveland Browns, who started a rookie quarterback. You know, I know they got a solid defense. They got killed by the Patriots yesterday. I want to see this team ready to play football coming out of the bye. That's a big reflection on the head coach.
Absolutely. And it's a game they should win. They're going to be favorites at home against them. Go beat them.
Right. Right. What no doubt about it.
Obviously, none of us are there yet. I was laying out a fantasy earlier in the show, like Woody Johnson somehow inspires Justin Fields and he becomes our franchise quarterback after all that. Mm-hmm. What a story it would be. Though not likely, what do you need to see from Justin Fields over these final bunch of weeks to say, you know what, screw drafting a quarterback. We have our quarterback.
Well, I got
to
see more games like yesterday. let me see more like yesterday. I mean, I don't want to see him now revert back to, you know, being a disaster again going forward. I still would draft a quarterback, though. I still would. I mean, remember, they only got him on a 2-year deal anyway.
Yeah.
Right? He's there for 2 years. They gave him $30 million guaranteed. So I still am drafting a quarterback because, you know, no matter what he does the rest of the
week. I do want to bring up something Met-related because I found this out in the last hour, and I'm annoyed about it, and I'm assuming you're going to be annoyed about
it. About Pete?
It's not about Pete Alonso. It's actually about a coach, and I know coaching doesn't make us nuts, but right. Anton Richardson is not coming back.
How could he not? How could this guy? I mean, they were, like, unbelievable stealing bases last year.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that they were thrown out by a catcher. I don't know how long. They got a bunch of times, and Lindor specifically got picked off by pitchers, right?
Yes.
Well, picked off.
A catcher didn't throw a guy out at second base for like 5 months. It was ridiculous.
I mean, what did they have, 35 in a row or something like that?
It was crazy. Yeah. So
it really is. It's so wrong. You know, it's amazing how Jeremy Hefner, we looked at him like he was Dave Duncan or Leo Mazzoni for a while, right?
Yep.
This great pitching coach. What the hell happened? What happened to the great pitching lab? Well, I don't want to get started on the general manager, on the the president of baseball operations.
I don't know if I blame Stearns or Cohen for this, but according to Jeff Passan, in terms of why Anton Richardson is not back, is they could not agree on a new contract.
What?
Which is like...
How much could a coach be making? He's not making more than... You know, a couple hundred thousand.
I know. That's why I read that. I'm like, Richard,
maybe that's to save face.
Save face. They got rid of all the other coaches. They could have just gotten rid of them. Instead, it sounds like they couldn't agree on money. And that sounds like a horrible decision considering what he turned Juan Soto as a base stealer into and everybody on this Met team.
Everybody stealing bases. I mean, you just didn't throw anybody out. It was amazing how they stole bases. Now, a lot, of course, the new rule with only two throwovers to first helps it.
Yeah.
But they were just. You know, dominant.
It's also
stealing bases.
Stealing on breaking balls. That helps.
Well,
it's about being smart. It's about reading the pitches and knowing when to go.
Yeah. That didn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah.
You know, blame the coaching staff, of course.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Joe, good talking to you, man. We always appreciate it.
All right, guys. All the love. I guess I won't talk to you next week. No game. So we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Talk to you in a few.
Thank you, Joe.
The great Joe Beningo after a Jet victory for the very first time. Mm. For the very first time this year, we get to talk to Joe after a win.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Boldy, let's start with the Carl Banks comments. I'm sure by now you've heard about it, but he was very critical of Dexter Lawrence. You were the first to be critical of Dexter Lawrence way back in either week one or week two. What have you seen? First of all, what did you think of Carl's comments, and what have you seen from Lawrence on film as you break it down?
I thought Carl was fair. I mean, he's just, you know, he's at every game. He's watching this stuff. Dexter Lawrence went up against the center, making his first NFL start at center. And Brett Toth, he's the backup center in Philadelphia. And you didn't hear Dexter's name mentioned. He got a half a sack there at one point. First time he's gotten a quarterback to the ground all year. But I just thought, like, okay, this kid, Brett Toth, who's never started a game at center, he's going to have his hands full with Dexter Lawrence. And the Eagles had their best day offensively all year, and their best day running the football all year by far. And it wasn't even close. And so I didn't think he had much of an impact in the game. And you would think, like, a guy out there that's, just trying to snap the ball and, you know, get assignments down, all that kind of stuff, and an underused player, like, he would have his way with them, and he didn't.
All right, we all know he's not playing well, and I agree. I thought Carl was on point and fair. But you need to tell us why. Is it a lack of explosion? Is he out of shape? Is it technique? Why is he not doing much?
Yeah, I don't see his, he's always, obviously he's got size. And there's guys that are that big in this league. I mean, Vita Vea in Tampa, there's a handful of them that are that size. And you see their enormous strength. Derrick Brown, sometimes Jalen Carter in Philly. You just see enormous strength that most people don't have. Mm-hmm. You don't see his strength. So some of that is a function of, is it conditioning? Because he doesn't look like he has. That was always the impressive thing about Dexter, at least in the last 2 years, since Wink Martindale really challenged him a few years back. And you saw him play a lot of snaps, 70, 75% of the snaps. And then you saw enormous strength where you go, this is a long, hard day. I mean, Jason Kelce has talked about it all the time. That was his toughest assignment. Is dealing with his size and strength, and you just don't see that on display right now.
You think that's a coaching thing, Boldy?
No. The players at this point, I mean, year seven, whatever it is now, you know how to play. You know how to play the game. Coaching isn't going to say, okay, Shane Bone isn't saying, don't toss this guy across the field here. Like, players have to play, and I don't believe that has anything to do with scheme or coaching or anything else.
Okay. Hey, Boldy, we're both of the opinion here that the Giants should go get a receiver for Jackson Dart, not even for a playoff push, just to, help accelerate his development and, go through reads and, win some one-on-one matchups, blah, blah, blah. You agree with that?
Yes, I do. Because, Jalin Hyatt didn't play the other day. I know that Slayton got the touchdown pass. I don't understand the call. Like, he did, break loose. That was a terrible call on him, I thought. But
terrible.
I do think, like, this guy is, I think this kid is going to be special. But you gotta give him some help. Wandale has had moments this year, but he's a slot guy. Every once in a while, they'll put him outside. But they I believe that if you want to get the best out of Jackson getting ready for next year, go get him some help. And there's going to be some receivers out there, but I think they should be aggressive about it. I don't care how many games they've won. Like, this is all about his development right now. And so you lose Scatterboo, which is obviously just crushing. But I think that they need help at that position right now. And I'm a subscriber to what you're saying here. Like, go get him some help. Give him a chance.
BT and Sal on the Fan, we're talking with Brian Baldinger. Insider Calls are brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. What about the other horrific call in that game, Baldy? What'd you think of the tush push? Could have been fumble that was not overturned or was not able to be reviewed.
So I didn't really understand the whole trend. Like, I saw the play, and honestly, I mean, Jalen is reaching the ball out for the first down when Kayvon takes it out of his hands and has possession of it. Now, I don't know when I tried to figure out when the umpire was blowing his whistle. It was hard to say, but the whistle wasn't blown when Kayvon grabbed the ball. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, Brian, you know, Coach Dable's over there going, wait a second, I can't challenge this. Like, at first they said you can't challenge the call, whatever. Then he challenged it. So I'm like, okay, is there something else in the rule book there that should allow him to challenge it? Because honestly, I thought, you know, I don't know. I heard Kayvon talking about it in the locker room afterwards, and Burns, he's like, don't say anything, you're going to get fined. So, but I it's a different look. I'll just say this. It's a difficult play to officiate because when does the forward momentum really stop? He's being pushed from behind. Like, Kayvon doesn't think the play's over by any stretch. And if the quarterback puts the ball out there in harm's way, and we see this all the time, whether quarterback sneak going over the top, guys punching the ball out, we see it all the time in this league. Like, I feel like that's a legitimate play by Kayvon that I thought it's difficult to officiate. I get it. But I don't know. I was kind of on Kayvon's side on that one.
No, there's no doubt. The refs were horrendous. That's not the only calls they messed up. They were bad. All right. So, listen, nice to see Aaron Glenn get a win. It's good. We haven't really talked about Muji very often because, you know, the season's here, and why would you? But as the season develops, despite just the one win, Mason Taylor looks like a player. Membu looks like they got that right. Found the punter in McNamara. And the guy who I was roasting the first couple of games, Brandon Stevens, who he brought in as a free agent corner, like the last 4 or 5 weeks, he's graded out tremendously, not to mention the trade for Brownlee here. I think Muji quietly has put together some interesting pieces.
And Thomas at corner, who started for Sauce, played. Yep. I mean, look, Jamar Chase didn't end up in the end zone. Like, I know he gave him some throws, but like nothing got over his head. I thought he played well. Marinola, the linebacker 51, I thought he played well. You can see contributions from the rookie class to help them win that game. And, you know, when you win a game like that, you're like, okay, you know, Kansas City was close, Tampa was close. Like, you start giving them a little bit more leeway, you know, after they win a game. Mm-hmm. But I would say all those young kids all showed up. And so even the rookie Aaron Smith, like, he made a 22-yard comeback. You don't see anybody run this league.
Yeah, he could run. He could run.
Yeah, he can run. But the comeback throw on the timing from Justin, that was an impressive, like, that kind of opened your eyes a little bit, like, because he ran that corner all the way down the field off and then came back to the ball nicely.
Yeah, that looked pretty good. Okay, so back to Mason Taylor for a sec. So it's funny, Jet fans, and I'm one of them, always fixate on the absence of a quarterback, obviously, but the Jets rarely have a tight end that can win matchups. And I think we all thought that Taylor could get open a little bit, but, and this is where I want you to tell us, like, I see him sticking his beak in there and delivering some really good blocks.
No, he's come a long ways. Like, they went to a lot of what we call YY formation, two tight ends, him and Rucker, and they did a good job on Breece Hall's 35-yard run, and even the touchdown run, they did a good job of sealing right there and working in tandem together. I think Mason Taylor's going to be a really good player. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the bloodlines are the bloodlines. That doesn't guarantee anything. But he does have real – like, I thought Breece could have hit him right away on the winning touchdown. Like, he's just very smooth in and out of breaks. I think the way that he moves, the way that he runs, and now the improved blocking, like, I honestly think they've got themselves a really good player there. And I think – second half of the season, I think we're going to see it.
What do you think was the worst loss, Baldy? The Giants blowing the game in Denver or the Bengals losing that game at home to the Jets?
I think Denver's loss, Giants loss, because everything had to go right for that one to happen. And, you know, look, the Bengals had 15-point lead as well. So I don't know which one is worse.
And but the winless, felt like the Giants. The winless Jets. I mean, I'm with you. That's why I asked you the question. I just can't believe those comebacks, Baldy.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the league right now. I mean, the Jets made two stops at the end of the game, one to get the ball back to go down and score, and one, once they did score, to stop, you know, those two receivers from beating them, and they did. And so that was pretty impressive at the end by the Jets defense that, you know, hadn't really been able to stop a really good offense like that.
We know it's still pretty early, and we know that you're wrapped up in the NFL stuff. And I asked you this maybe 5 or 6 weeks ago, and it was really early. Any updated opinion now? And I know we know it could change. who the best quarterback is in college. I like Mendoza. How about you?
I like Mendoza also. I mean, Indiana's rolling. So, you know, he looks special. I don't know. I honestly, I'm doing Texas Tech and BYU next weekend out there in Lubbock. I think Mahomes are actually going to be there on the sideline for that one. But, I you know, I'm just – I haven't really studied enough to know. Like,
All right.
I mean, still really early.
What are your expectations, Baldy, as far as the wins losses go the rest of the way for both the Giants and the Jets? Start with the Giants at 2-6. I still think the expectations should be raised to where they could be winning some of these games. So I think Dable needs to show that. What are your expectations for the Giants win loss wise the rest of the way?
Well, they've got a pretty undermanned San Francisco 49er team coming to town. I mean, they lost their two best defensive players, Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. They were unimpressive on Sunday, to say the least. Robert Saleh is coming back to that stadium. Week before, he had his defense playing lights out. Bryce Huff, who didn't play last week, was awesome. We'll see if he's, you know, if he can go. But I think they got a chance to win that game. They don't scare you offensively at all. McCaffrey got completely shut down by Houston. So, you know, that's that. And I think, you know, when the Jets come back from this this bye week, they play Cleveland at home. I mean, Cleveland is they're very similar. They've got all rookies playing everywhere. Rookie tight end, rookie quarterback, rookie running backs, rookies all over the defense. I mean, go win that game. And it's a Darren Mooji game. You know, like go show us your young guys have a chance to develop and be a part of the future.
By the way, Giants minus San Francisco minus 2.5, obviously coming across the country. Real quick, final thing from me. The way Aaron Glenn has handled the media this year, you're from here, but you've been all around the country, stabilized with a win. Do you like the feistiness? Is it too much? How do you process what Aaron's been doing so far? More the verbal jousting back and forth.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's, I don't think you, I think by trying to be friends or funny, glib, like, I don't know that that wins anybody over. You know, 0-7 is 0-7. You get the win, you get the win. I mean, I just think stonewalling and not really saying anything is not a bad approach at this point, because everybody's going to have their own opinions about who the Jets are when the record says what they are, and maybe he made a mistake with the quarterback, you know, all these kind of things. Like, he has to kind of, yes, Sunday showed us some things that, yes, maybe they are getting some work done. We don't see the penalties that we saw last year, that we saw in the first 5 weeks. We saw a real cut down in that. And so let's just see it kind of grow a little bit here with them. I don't have any problem with this approach at this point. I know it's not New York media friendly at this point, but I don't think by going the other direction, he does them any favors.
Last one from me, Baldy. The record is what it is, but maybe even more of an indictment is what Daniel Jones has done in the first year away from Brian Daboll and the Giants. What do you think is the reason that Daniel Jones has been able to have so much success right away with Steichen in Indianapolis when he couldn't get it going here?
I hate to say stability, because that has not been a great stable franchise. They've been terrible. They haven't found a quarterback, and they've gone through them all. Carson Wentz, Philip Rivers. I mean, he went to a bunch of Matt Ryan. They went to quarterbacks like crazy trying to find it. But Shane Steichen went to a Super Bowl with the Eagles, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. You know, I mean, he didn't win one, but he went to the Super Bowl with the Eagles. He's a great play caller. Their talent around Daniel Jones is elite, but his playing, he's as good as anybody in this league right now. I mean, Drake May is playing really good, and, you know, Jordan Love is playing good. But, I mean, honestly, he's as good as anybody right now. And it's every throw. Like, I just think the offense and the talent around him is elite, and he just can just do his job right now. All right, here's the open receiver. Let's throw it to him. But it's crazy to see how good he is right now.
So that's not a coaching thing, in your opinion?
Oh, it's coach. I think it's a big deal. It's a big part of his coaching. I think with Shane Steichen and the offensive line coach is really, really good. The line is really stable. They got the leading rusher in the league. Like, I think a lot of – but the way that they designed the offense – It looks like it's number one offense football, but it looks almost unstoppable at this point. And Daniel Jones is making it go.
Well, Boldy, the bottom line is this. When you've got, you know, 3, 4, 5 holes on the offense every year like he did with the Giants, not to mention some bad coaching, you're asking Daniel Jones to be something that he's not capable of being. And that's an elevator of substandard talent. You plug in real players around him and a real coach. He's certainly good enough to win. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the year that they went to the playoffs, he ran for 800 yards that year, you know, including the win against Minnesota. He ran for 800 yards, and it was a big part of the offense, was him and Saquon running. Like, they're not asking him to do that. You know, they've got Jonathan Taylor. Like, they've got an all-pro, all-world left guard. They rebuilt the interior of their offense line. Their tight end looks like Mark Bavaro. Like, it's just, you know, they've got a slot receiver. They've got two outside receivers. And honestly, I haven't seen anybody defend that offense yet properly.
Thank you, Baldy.
It's a function of the talent and the coaching.
Thank you, Baldy. We appreciate your time as always.
Good job, man.
My pleasure, guys.
All right, it was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side.
Thank goodness, because I was getting a little bit worried because I was talking to Dove outside, and Dove said, "Have you seen Mink yet?" I said, "I have not seen Mink. I heard he was coming in around 9 o'clock, and then Dove said, "I heard 8:30. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. It's one of these train crash things that he went through, whatever the hell else. I mean, because sometimes you get bad luck with the transportation. But here he is for the last couple of minutes of the show. We welcome in WFAN legend John Mako. John, good morning. What's happening, man?
This is my yearly. I've been gone for 5 years, and this is my yearly visit. To the fan, and I'm extremely happy to
be here. Everything's going well, and you had a game. St. John's played Michigan on Saturday, and how was that?
Let's put it this way. These are not exhibition games. You had Purdue and Kentucky, Indiana and Baylor on Sunday, and of course, St. John's and Michigan at Madison Square Garden for an exhibition game in college basketball. And
was this full? How many people showed up? Maybe 15 grand?
I'd say about 12 and a half or something like that.
Well, listen, Rick Pitino's trying to build something here.
Oh, he's building it.
And I know he is. And, you know, to bring in a school like Michigan and play at Madison Square Garden, that's how you get people excited about playing for your university. And money.
And they did not play like an exhibition game, like walking the ball up the court. We're going to see. Well,
are you going to tell me Rick Pitino is going to let his guys walk the ball up the court?
No. I mean, we're talking full court pressure. Everything they was designed to win the game, and you know they came up short, obviously in overtime. But there was a lot to take on the part of both teams. Michigan's going to be really good.
Yeah, so we're going to have Rick Pitino in next week, which will be great to talk to him. And we spent a little time with Rick a couple weeks ago. But give me your early scouting report on this group and why all of us St. John's fans should be excited about them.
Well, I think the first thing, they're going to be pretty good. There's a lot of talent on the team, but seeking the correct combination and the rotation, I think that is not developed yet.
Okay.
I think that's going to take a little bit more time. And the problem with that is, they're playing Alabama the second game of the season and playing three tough games in Vegas later on.
But you know what? That's all good. It's all good, though. You want that stuff for the end of the year. You don't want to be playing these patsies at the beginning
of the
year.
But who's going to play? And I think defense and rebounding, and especially the press, have got to be improved upon. And I think that's what they're doing now.
You know what I love? I love the fact that they want to play these types of games.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that you want to play the best early on. You want to get your team sizzled up. You want to get them going. I mean, I'm assuming UConn's going to be pretty good this year, too.
They're going to be pretty good.
Right.
Yeah. The rest of the Big East, I don't know. I think Creighton's going to be pretty good. But after that, the middle of the pack, I have no prediction on that.
Well, Rick was telling us that he thought that just looking at them and the rosters and everything, going through the recruiting and the NIL and everything else, that he thought that Providence and Georgetown were going to be much improved this year. That's just his opinion. He's got respect for everybody, so he's not going to be trashing anybody. So I know you love when college basketball season St. John starts back up because you're out there, you're in the mix, you're calling the games. How was the off season this year? Were you able to? I know sometimes you don't have as much to do, and you talk about that and finding things to keep you busy.
Well, I had plenty to do.
You had plenty to do.
But we don't need
time
to go into what that was. But.
Oh, no. Well. Everything all right?
It is now.
Okay, all right.
Oh, it is. Okay, everything's right, working. Everything's good.
Everything's good.
All right. You need to get done?
Well, I didn't know that.
I got done what I needed to get done.
Oh, good.
No doubt about that. And it started right after the season.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know this, Mink. So,
yeah, well, nobody does.
Okay, all right. So we won't get into it. I'm just glad that you're healthy and you're great and all of that. I was just going to joke with you that because I know we talk about, you know, you're sitting there with the board games and you're walking to the train station and back and forth.
Well, I did that today.
Yeah, but you actually got on the train.
And you know what? I get off the train station in Hoboken and then into Christopher Street in New York City. And I said, gosh, I did this for 13 years. My goodness.
Yeah, it's a lot. It was a lot. And Eddie, by the way, what do you think about Eddie retiring in May? Isn't that crazy?
I'll be there for that. That's going to be at your remote down
the
shore.
Yes, at kickoff to summer. Yes, probably at DJ's again.
Count me in.
Okay, great.
Get me a pass or whatever you do for something like that.
You're going to drink some Schlitz that day?
Hey, listen, hey, man.
Schlitz at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Man, you tell who's ever taking passes that your pass is your face. Like, yeah. You know, you're a legend.
You don't need a pass, man.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, you really don't need a pass. What was that beer that he used to? Was it Schlitz that he used to call the newsroom, have a couple Schlitz, and then call us?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a
Schlitz.
But five or six of them. Schmitz.
Yeah. The Eddie Scazzeri, that's going to be a
tough day for all of us, man.
A tough day, but
I'll be happy
for him. It's going to be a great day.
Yeah, it'll be a great day. We'll all be happy for him, but it'll be tough.
And I want to make sure I'm there for that.
Yes, absolutely. Many people will. Although Eddie doesn't like the attention. But he's going to get it that day.
Going to get it.
Yeah, I was always, when I used to work that 4 to midnight shift, it was Wednesday through Sunday, and, you know, the phone would start ringing, it would be you in the newsroom, and it was like 8 o'clock, and then I was like, oh boy, he's had a couple Schlitz. Here comes Minko. He's watching sports, drinking his Schlitz. And we'd sit there.
Well, that's the beer that made Milwaukee famous, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm surprised. No Rheingold for you.
Rheingold.
No.
Well, I remember that 62 Mets.
Yeah.
Rheingold and, of course, Ballantyne with the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And Mel Allen.
other than the college basketball, what's in your retirement your favorite sport to watch these days?
You know what? I'll be honest. Now that I'm not really in the business, you know, obviously I spent 33 years here. I watch games more so for the entertainment value than I do for anything else. I recognize more so that the NFL pregame shows, the NFL Today, the games, the way they are produced and everything like that. Sometimes I feel like I'm not watching a football game. I'm watching a television show. The 4 or 5 hours of the Super Bowl pregame show, and you know this too.
Yes.
It isn't it true that it's more produced as if it's a TV show than a pregame show?
Well, actually a movie.
you can watch Gone with the Wind twice.
So when you're doing 4 hours pregame show, you know, which I've done for many years, it gets a little tedious, to say the least. Yeah, for sure.
But I look at it that way now. You know, am I entertained by the football game today? Am I entertained by, you know, the basketball or whatever else I'm going to watch? And that's the way I look at it.
Did you watch baseball or football last night? World Series or Kansas City?
Well, I watched World Series into
the. Oh, you did?
Not
all the way.
2 a.m.
Yeah.
But.
What are you, weak or something?
Yes.
Okay. Just stayed up for that game, Eddie. Man. That game was epic.
Oh, man. We only have just a couple more seconds with you, Mink, but it's always great to see you, and I'm so happy that you made it before we went off the air today, and you get to spend some time with Dove and everybody.
Oh, the icon.
Yeah, the icon. Yeah, there he is. Ah, the icon. There he is. So best of luck, and hopefully St. John's gives us a great deep tournament run, and you're the voice that leads us into the Final Four this year. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yep, that's what I'm hoping for, too.
All right, John Minko, everybody, the WFAN legend that he is. It's always great to see him and hear the voice.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.